Let us pray. Almighty God, greet us this morning, your resurrected self, the same way you met Mary, in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I realize that there are so many religions around these days. The dictionary defines religion as the worship of a superhuman controlling power, a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. My most recent encounter was bear paint. The second floor of the rectory needs painting, and I was looking up in Consumer Reports what the best paint is, and of course, they've done a lot of tests, and I'm happy to report to you that Behr gets the highest score, except in color definition, which I think is incredibly important, but that's okay. Reading the pamphlet, though, I picked up from Home Depot, I realized I am invited to be a part of the great Behr family. In using Behr paint, the pamphlet tells me my life will be changed and I will be inspired. My very walls will evoke a kind of love. My family will be happier. They'll be gathering in the living room in each other's arms. I saw it in the photo. And this paint, it will last and last and last. It will brighten my life. It says that in the pamphlet too. Even my friends, if you keep going on the digital, on the website, even my friends will respect me more, especially if I buy the Marquee collection. And that's with names like Harvest Home. This one gets me. Cabin in the Woods. Castle in the Sky, Dandelion Wish, and Silver City. So, what do I want to talk about today? I don't want to talk about religion. I think Behr paint has it all over me. I want to talk about a relationship. I want to talk about the absolute, bar none, most important moment in all of Scripture. You may remember that 3 years earlier, Mary Magdalene had been living in the lovely, gentle hills in the north ring around the Sea of Galilee. And one day, she met an itinerant rabbi, a man who was stirring things up. And he had this wild, infectious tale about a way of having a new kind of relationship with God, something authentic. He spoke right to people who were lying their guts out and said, "You're lying your guts out." And she had this feeling inside herself that maybe, just maybe, she could have an authentic, genuine life and follow her heart and this man. Mary dropped everything. She followed this rabbi for 3 wonderful years. It was a journey the likes of which she'd never known, full of laughter and honest to goodness miracles and hope and love. So, imagine how she felt last Friday. Imagine how she felt when that journey ended. Imagine how she felt when she heard her beloved friend cry out from the cross, "It is finished. It didn't work. The great adventure is all washed up. My dear, sweet Jesus is dead." When the famous agnostic Robert Ingersoll died, the printed program had this instruction: there will be no singing. And that's what Mary felt like last Friday. It didn't work. In the Louvre, there's a painting of the cross, and in it, the stars are dead, and the world is dark, and the shadows are around, and in those shadows, there's a kneeling form, and it's Mary, and she's holding her hands and her lips against the bloody feet of Jesus. And that, too, was Mary last Friday. It didn't work. Saul Bellow sums it up. He speaks of all the wonderful hopes of the human spirit. And then he ends, in his play Herzog, he ends with this line: death waits for these things as a cement floor waits for a dropping light bulb. That was Mary last Friday. It didn't work. And what Mary does for me, she makes me realize that if the resurrection is just a concept, if it's just a lovely poetic image for the rebirth of nature in the spring, if it's just a way of making the teachings of a dead rabbi live on in my memory, then Mary and you and I, as St. Paul says, of all people, are most to be pitied. That was no concept on the cross last Saturday. If Jesus is risen, then he simply becomes, if he's not risen, then he simply becomes a museum piece, a topic for a seminar, and just another romantic, tragic, dead hero. Early this morning, Mary got up while it was still dark, all by herself, alone with her grief. And she went through the night to the tomb. And now, standing in the deep dawn, as the Greek puts it, she's crying quietly, sobbing. And she sees the gardener, the man in charge of the cemetery grounds. And he says to her, "Why are you crying?" That's a pretty stupid question when you're standing in a cemetery. In fact, it's really quite rude, unless the questioner knows something. Mary says to him, "Did you take the body? It's all I've got. Tell me where it is." And now comes the moment, the most personal moment in all of Scripture. The gardener says one word: the man she's loved and the man she's buried simply says her name. Jesus says to her, "Mary." And instantly, something like an electric shock jolts through her. Her eyes snap open. She rubs her tears and she stares. In a small, trembling voice, she too says one word: "Rabbi, my blessed teacher." And in this moment, the great adventure is suddenly back, better than ever before. Jesus looks at her with living eyes, calls her by name, and in her grief, at the worst possible time, she's transformed. Transformed into something better than she could ever have hoped for or imagined. Look, I don't know what great adventures you have begun which haven't worked out. I don't know the times in your life When you have said, there will be no singing. I don't know the times that you have knelt in darkness and the stars have gone out and it just hasn't worked. But I do know some of my own. And I also know that a voice comes into this church this morning, and it's the voice of the one who was totally and utterly dead and now lives. It's the voice that says, because I live, you shall live too. It's the voice that simply says, Janet and Mary and each of our names. I know that voice. I know it to be real. I hear it in ways I'd never thought possible. It's the voice of the risen Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's the voice that says there will be singing. It's the voice, and I take this from the musical Hamilton, Burr, I'd rather be divisive than indecisive. Drop the niceties. It's the voice that says, you want a revolution? I want a revelation. So listen to my declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. It's the voice that says, look around. Look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now. History is happening, and we just happen to be in the right place at the right time. This is not bear paint. This is the real thing. And you are living Christ's work on this earth. Can you imagine finding out that you are truly indispensable and important? You don't got to be in the history books to be magical. You're actually more than that. You're a part of God's work on earth because God has called you by name. He has appeared before you, and you and I are invited, along with Mary, even this morning, to stand just outside the empty tomb and to hear the living voice saying our names. Amen.